Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we have a number of great guests. First, we're going to be talking to Joanne Lykin. She's the Director of Corporate Partnerships at New England College of Business and Finance. And Joanne is going to bring along a couple of great guests. And then we're going to be talking to Herb Cohen, Chairman of Performance Connections International. Today, we are talking with Joanne Lykin. She is the Director of Corporate Partnerships at New England College of Business and Finance. Joanne, thank you and welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. I know you've brought some guests with you today, and I know Deborah and Carl are on the phone as well, and I'm sure you'll introduce them. But first, tell me a little bit about New England College of Business and Finance and why you have some programs that might be interesting to the HR viewers.
Well, New England College of Business and Finance has been educating the working professional for more than 100 years now. We specialize in the professional, the working professional, because we have unique needs. There's flexibility, which works in better with our work-life balance that we're all striving so hard for. We have a corporate partnerships program, which makes our programs available to all corporate partner employees and their family members at up to 25% off of retail. And, you know, that really stretches those tuition reimbursement dollars for the employer and reduces the out-of-pocket. We have accelerated programs, the undergraduate and graduate degree programs. The undergraduate are 8 weeks long. The graduate programs are 5 weeks per course. So the working individual can finish up sooner, much sooner, and at a discounted rate. We have the corporate partnerships program for New England College of Business really reaches out across different industries, which brings in a really nice, robust, a bunch of experience about, among our college students that are actually in the courses and participating together. Although it's a virtual experience, it's come a long way. Folks are going to be using our campus platform, which is very interactive. They will be working with student groups. They will have the ability to speak to their instructors and each other. So it really makes that online experience so much more robust and more pleasurable, really, for the individuals. And leading to that, I would love to be able to introduce to you our first program chair, who is Deborah Cementa. She heads up our Master of Business Ethics and Compliance degree. And she can tell you how unique this specialized degree is and how it actually came about. Deborah?
Thank you, Joanne, and thank you for having me on the program. The Master of Science in Business Ethics and Compliance program, we refer to it as MBEC, it's the first of its kind in the U.S. Long-term professionals and new hires, they benefit by this course of study, which was developed in a timely response to disasters like the subprime mortgage crisis of the early 90s, Enron of the late 80s. The regulatory standards for business transactions, oversight, and financial management are now stricter than ever. And it also includes the program today in human resources as well. They're forcing corporations to require compliance training in order to improve efficiencies. Rooted in the standard of excellence, our cutting-edge MBEC program prepares graduates for compliance management while training them to exercise ethical judgment in the governance and operations of their companies.
When you are talking about this program, this Master's of Science in Business Ethics and Compliance, first of all, a couple quick questions, if you could. One would be, how long is the program? I know that we were talking a little bit with Joanne about 8 weeks. Is that still the case?
It takes 50 weeks to complete. So within 18 months, without a break, you could complete the program in a year and a half.
And when somebody graduates, they will have gone through a number of courses, and I was quickly looking through. They're talking a lot about regulations. They're talking about legal issues, governance, risk management, enterprise risk management. I think these are very important in today's, you know, day and age, and certainly with a lot of new regulations coming down the pike. How do you see this really fitting into somebody, or what is somebody's position that may be really looking at something like this?
Well, what the program is geared towards, after completing the program, you know, a compliance officer, we could look at marketing, HR, absolutely, and Carla will talk about that for the CAGS program. So, as I said, you know, every corporation or company needs compliance. Every industry needs compliance. So, and actually ethics as well. It was developed to help graduates achieve business success through the understanding and application of ethical procedures, guidelines, and strategies. So overall, it's an overall program, ethics governance.
When you're talking about the Masters of Science in Business Ethics and Compliance, some people might say, well, what type of level do you need to be at to take this course? Do you need to already have your master's, or is it could it be part of a master's program?
It is a master's program, Dave. What applicants need to get into the program, you have to have a bachelor's degree with a 2.7 point average. The applicant will obviously fill out an application as well as submit an essay of their interest in the program and whether, you know, they will fit into the program.
If somebody has a bachelor's degree and maybe they have been out of school for, 10, 15 years, and they've decided they want to go back and get some extra certificates in this area or get their master's in this area, is there an equivalency if, for example, way back in college they didn't have that 2.7? I just ask, are there any other ways to get into the program?
Obviously, their essay, their strong desire to be in the program, looking at other courses, you know, where were they strong in ethics courses and in courses that would be applicable to the program? So having a 2.7 is not the be-all, end-all. You know, there's a lot of factors that would be taken into consideration.
I noticed under the admission requirements, it also says they need to send in their current resume. So you do look at the fact of what they've been doing over the last number of years.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was the other criteria.
No, that's great, because I do think a lot of people have said to themselves, how can I continue to improve my education? How can I learn more in a particular area? And, you know, sometimes people have children. They necessarily can't do it when they just finish, you know, college, or they say, you know, I got to get out there. I got to pay off my college loans and so forth. And then they decide to come back. So this is an opportunity for them to get a master's in a very important area in ethics and compliance and really look at that as an opportunity. An option for them, correct?
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely.
No, that's great. Now, I know you have somebody else. You have Carla you want to talk about on a different program. Could you introduce her for me?
Yes, Dr. Carla Palano heads up the Certificate of Advanced Graduate Study in Human Resources. Carla?
Thank you, Deb. And Dave, thanks for having us on. I wanted to piggyback on some of the things that Deborah just said. One of the things that makes NECB unique is that we understand, as Joanne was saying, that adult learners need something different. And most of us do pursue other interests after college. Typically, we're working, raising families. So you're coming back. It can be intimidating to come back to school. And one of the beauty about all of NECB's programs is we don't require standardized tests like a GMAT or a GRE. And we do look at things like, what is the person doing? What are their career aspirations? And what do they hope to get out of the program? So while my program, for example, requires a 3.0 to get in, it's a postgraduate degree, we consider all of those other elements as well. So the CAGS in Human Resources, CAGS is a unique term. A lot of people haven't heard of it unless you work in library science or perhaps in the education field, but it stands for Certificate of Advanced Graduate Studies. It is typically the interim step between a master's degree and a doctorate degree, a PhD or a DBA. It's designed truly for the person that really is not going to pursue a doctorate. That, of course, requires a dissertation, which is the sort of sticking point for most people when they get into doctorate programs. Only about 50% or less of people that get into them finish because of the dissertation process. And I can speak for myself in saying it's not a fun process. So this degree really works for those folks that want to take their expertise or skill levels to that next level and distinguish themselves from their peers who have masters. So the typical person that comes into this program has a graduate degree already. That is actually a requirement. And it might be in business, or it could be in some related field. If the person, for example, worked in the criminal justice field, maybe they have a master's in criminal justice. And so they're going to be moving into human resources and are in human resources now and need to have that expertise in that field. So like Deborah said, every organization needs to be focusing on compliance and ethics. Every organization needs an HR person, whether it's your CFO who's doing it, if you're a smaller organization, or whether you're a larger organization and you have a dedicated HR team, you're going to need those skills and those expertise to be able to run your organization. And that's what this degree provides. It's very applied, very practical, and designed so that when you walk out of the program, you should be able to sit for some HR industry certifications like the PHR or SPHR certification exams through the Society of Human Resource Management.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Maine DOT has a special announcement for northbound drivers who routinely take I-295's Exit 15 in Yarmouth. Stop taking Exit 15. I repeat, stop taking Exit 15. It's not your exit anymore. It was your exit once, but not now. Forget about northbound Exit 15. Exit 15 is not for you. Actually, Maine DOT is adding a brand new on-ramp there, and to do that safely and quickly, closing Exit 15 is required starting March 12th. So if you're driving northbound on Interstate 295 and headed for Route 1 in Yarmouth, take Exit 10 in Falmouth or Exit 17. Temporary traffic signals will make taking those alternate exits safe and convenient. You can take Exit 15 southbound, but just forget all about Exit 15 northbound, at least until June. Sometime in June, you can take Exit 15 then. Take it all you want. Exit 15 will be yours once again. A message from Maine DOT. There's better road ahead. Drive safely.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Established in 2009, CrossFit Cascabay is Portland's most experienced strength training facility. CrossFit is the principal strength and conditioning program for many police academies, elite special forces, champion martial artists, housewives, children, and everything in between. At CrossFit Cascabay, you'll be able to reduce stress, manage weight and body composition, enhance physical strength and endurance, improve flexibility, and recover from injury or illness in a safe environment. The time is now. Stop in for a free demo. For more information, please visit CrossFitCascoBay.com. CrossFit Casco Bay, forging elite fitness.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking with Joanne Larkin, Deborah Cementa, and Carla Petalano. I hope I got those names right. And so, but we're actually talking about a great program put on by the New England College of Business and Finance. And right now we're talking about the Certificate of Advanced Graduate Study for Human Resource Management, or CAGS, HRM. And we're talking with Carla about that. Carla, thanks again for being on the show. I appreciate it. Tell me a little bit about how this program really aligns with SHRM, because a lot of people have their PHR and the SPHR. How does this kind of align with that whole certification?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. So the CAGS and HRM program was designed off of SHRM's HR competency model, which is a model that SHRM developed for identifying the key elements for HR success for people in HR at all different levels, from entry-level folks all the way up to executives. And so we developed the program with that in mind. We aligned it to the SHRM competency model, and we're actually in the process now of having the program reviewed by SHRM and approved so that we can offer our students opportunities to earn SPHR recertification credits. So if you already have your PHR or SPHR designation, you'd be able to use some of your coursework, sort of double dip, so to speak, and apply that towards your recertification with SHRM. And then as well, the material within the program is actually following along with the guidance that SHRM has provided with regards to what an HR professional needs to learn and know and be able to do.
There's a new program that we have heard a little bit about in terms of SHRM with the Global Senior Professional in HR, or the GPHR. So is that also one of the programs that are looked at from a global perspective having to do with this?
Absolutely. This program has a global focus because that's the way the business world operates today. We're no longer able to be regional or even nationalistic in the way that we approach business. And there is, in fact, a course specifically designated to focus in on the global aspects of human resources in the program. One of the 10 courses does that.
That's great. You know, one of the questions that came up, and I'll address it to you, Carla, because I think right at this point it may tie in a lot with this program, is that, you know, professionals out there may say, well, why is this important to me? Online colleges, online universities have certainly increased over the number of years. Matter of fact, we just had a speaker on a couple of weeks ago that talked about the fact that online colleges are the wave of the future and that they're, you know, certainly getting more and more play, and some of the universities have started even looking at them themselves. How do you see someone who maybe has in the past had challenges with understanding, learning, and being able to now come online and have that same impact to them, and where do you see online going in terms of the university or the college in this case?
Well, you know, that's interesting. Online education is not for everyone, but it is ideally suited for our population, which is why those folks come to us. Average NECB student in age is 35. That person is mature. They are responsible. They understand what's required of them, and they know how to achieve their goals. So I often say to my students, the best thing that you can do is to put one foot in front of the other as you march through your program. We are there to help you along the way. And really, it's perseverance and dedication that gets you through really any kind of a degree program, but online especially, and working closely with your program chair, such as myself or Deborah, or with your advisor and with your faculty. And we're truly blessed to have faculty that are all what we call scholar practitioners. So the majority of them have terminal degrees in their field, and 20 or 25 years experience is the average for most of the people in their particular area of expertise. So having those people, they understand what it's like to be a working adult, a working professional in class. They are approaching topics from that perspective. And, you know, our schedules are flexible, and the way the work is done is flexible enough that allows that person to be able to be successful. One of the things we provide, because we understand people haven't been in school perhaps for quite some time, is free online tutoring so that people, if you need help, you're taking that statistics class again for the first time, you have somebody that you can go to and get live help to work on whatever you're doing. Or if you're writing a paper, you can submit that and get assistance and feedback on improving your ability. So you're really developing along the way. And you know, staying online is the thing of the future, I think, is true. So many of us have to fit in all these different things it seems like a smaller and smaller time period. And so the nice thing about online is, though, while it's not 100% sort of go off and do whatever you want, whenever you want, it really is something you can fit in by, you know, bite-sized pieces throughout your schedule and throughout your week and still get to where you need to be.
Do you think that this course, and again, we're talking about the Certificate of Advanced Graduate Study, Human Resource Management, or CAGS HRM at the New England College of Business and Finance, Do you think this course is for somebody who maybe has their SPHR or their PHR and has a master's, is a prelude to a doctorate? Tell me a little bit about how come it fits between a master's and a doctorate and what makes it so unique.
Well, it fits in between the two in the sense that what we expect is the people coming into this program are people that have already pursued graduate study. And like the example I gave earlier with criminal justice, they may be experts in a particular area that aligns with their business and are trying to become more educated in and experts in human resources. That's one group of folks. I imagine there'd be another group of folks who want to teach or want to consult or are doing that now and need that extra bump above a master's. A master's is typically not enough to teach, and while it's an excellent credential to be a consultant, obviously the more expertise you have, well, the more you can charge. So it fits for those folks. And for the person who has a PHR or SPHR now, who says, you know, I'm not willing to give up 8 or 10 years of my life to pursue a doctorate, this is a good alternative. It provides you with a unique, distinct credential that your peers are not going to have, and I think will set you apart, really, from other folks.
No, that's great. I think it's certainly an interesting course, and I think that it's one that shows a lot of value in terms of being able to give somebody an opportunity to really grow and learn other things. I think both courses do. If I look at, you know, both items from the university are able to provide really overviews in a very clear, concise way and have a definite target and focus, whether you're dealing with ethics or whether you're dealing with HR. Joanne, could you provide maybe to the audience, if somebody was interested in getting into either program, what the steps would be? We kind of talked a little bit about what they have to submit, but what would be the steps that people would have to go to connect with the New England College of Business and Finance?
Sure. Well, as you've been listening, we hope we've really piqued the curiosity of your listeners, Dave, about NECB's unique offerings and experience. As you can tell, we have a lot of experience working and specializing with the and providing support for the working professional. Our corporate partnerships program enables NECB to truly come alongside of organizations across all the industries and supporting that development of your most valuable asset, your employees. So if you want to take that next step, learn more about enrolling at NECB, you can call a enrollment specialist. They will talk you through the process step by step. It is a very low pressure experience because we realize this is a big decision for most folks. You'll need to have some questions answered. You'll need to say, well, you know, which program is really a good fit for me? And then we'll talk you through whatever credits we'll transfer in. We'll tell you about financial aid that's available. If you apply and, you know, just walk you through the enrollment process. We realize people have very little time sometimes during the day, so we really love to come alongside and help in as much, in many ways as we can. You can call an enrollment specialist at 1-800-997-1673. And if you are interested in learning more about the Corporate Partnerships Program, which really is at the organizational level, again, it provides the preferred discounted rate for all of your employees and their family members, please feel free to reach out to me. Again, it's Joanne Lakin, L-A-K-I-N. I'm the Director of Corporate Partnerships at NECB, and my phone number is 617-388-9203.
Am I understanding the website is www.necb.edu? Is that correct? And can they find all that information on that site?
You betcha. It's all there. And again, if you want to speak to a person, then we feel that that's just as important. There's a person on the other end of the phone, or you go to the website. We keep it nice and lively there for you. All of the information is provided.
No, that's perfect. Well, I think this is an interesting, as I said before, program, and both programs have definite value. As Deborah, you stated, compliance has really taken off in the last few years. I know that certainly from, you know, our career management associate side, we are seeing incredible amounts of compliance needed in HR, in reporting, in safety. If you can just go right down the rules and regulations are just coming fast and furious. And I think that the program that you talk about in terms of making sure that somebody has the ethics and compliance, again, the Masters of Science in Business Ethics and Compliance, is a great model to be able to make that a clear choice for somebody. And then, Carl, again, I want to thank you for talking about this other program, the Certificate of Advanced Graduate Study, Human Resource Management, or CAGS, HRM. And that is, of course, for somebody who already has their master's and is looking to get more knowledge, more deep understanding of what they're trying to do in the HR world. I think that both programs at the New England College of Business and Finance really are awesome. And if anybody's interested, after you've listened to the show, you can go to the HRPowerHour.com, and we will certainly have the link to the college there. And we appreciate all three of you being on the show today. So Joanne, Deborah, and Carla, thank you so much today.
Thank you as well, Dave.
And you're listening to HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Every second, someone turns to OnStar for help.
OnStar Center.
I just woke up and my car was stolen.
I hate that you had to call us under these circumstances, but I'll be happy to assist you. Are you in a safe location?
Yeah, the car was in the driveway. My wife's car was behind mine. I come out to get the newspaper. Her car's out in the street. So they pushed her car out to get to my car.
Do you have the stolen vehicle report number?
550.
Now you can add this kind of protection to your car with new OnStar FMV.
Police Department.
I have a location on a stolen vehicle. It's just off of Riddler Brook Court. It's stationary.
Thanks, OnStar. We have three units going out there.
This is Pete.
This is the OnStar Center. We have located the vehicle. Police will be contacting you shortly.
Okay, thanks so much.
OnStar is built into most new Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Cadillac models. And now, you can even add it to your car with new OnStar FMV. Visit OnStar.com for FMV retailers, availability, system limitations, and details.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Today we're talking with Herb Cohen. He is the chairman of Performance Connections International, a leading training and performance enhancement company best known for its work in employee and customer engagement, employee retention, and turning mission-critical initiative into results. Herb, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David.
So, you know, you've been doing a lot of work with customer engagement, especially having to do with customer loyalty. Can you give an example in terms of some of the things that you've done to kind of give the audience an idea of some of the successes you've had?
Well, one big success is working with the Ritz-Carlton. That's been our model connections. Not that they weren't in good shape before we worked with them, but since we took over, they've moved in, and I can explain a little bit where they were and where they are going, but where they are today. But that's one example. Another is many, many retailers like a Victoria's Secret and some of the department stores and some of the other specialty stores.
Okay, so, you know, one of the things that, you know, we sometimes talk a lot about the show on is the customer engagement. And we have had other guests on that have certainly talked about engagement. And, you know, one of the things that is different is that you talk about how engaged customers differ from loyal and satisfied customers. I think that is a little bit of a difference. So try to explain that.
Yeah, it's really evolved over the years. You know, at the beginning when customer service was thought of as a competitive advantage, or first thought of as a competitive advantage, they talked about satisfied customers, and then they moved to loyal customers. And today we've sort of created this engaged customer, and I'll explain a little bit about that. If you picture a ladder, if you think about a ladder with five rungs, I think of the engaged customer at the top. The bottom rung, I label as being a hostage. You're a customer, but you feel trapped. An example of that for us in Maine is Time Warner Cable. They own you. You're with them whether you like it or not, and you have very few alternatives. The next rung up is what I'd call a contented customer, generally satisfied, but not really committed. That might be like a chain restaurant might be a good example of that. The next rung up I label a rationally committed customer. So you like the brand, and you're sort of committed to the brand for good reasons. But you'll switch. You maybe airlines might be a good example of that. You have a favorite airline, but you'll switch to another airline if there's a better price or it's a more convenient schedule. A hotel might fall into that category. Next to the top, of course, is a loyal customer. I've always been a loyal customer. Think about a pharmacy. I've always been a loyal customer to CVS, but I discovered that Target has a unique and patented vial system. So their vial, you can read the label. People in your family have different colored vials, and it's a unique vial system. Everything else is the same. The prices are the same. The service is pretty much the same. So I've become I was committed to CVS, but I've moved over to Target because of some value that they're providing. A supermarket might be another example of that. And, of course, the engaged customer is one emotionally committed to your brand. They become the most profitable customers. They stay with you the longest time, and they're ambassadors with lots of room for error. Not everybody does everything perfectly at all times. And when you've got an engaged customer, they will give you room for error. A good example of that might be Starbucks. Once you're a Starbucks customer, it's very, very difficult to go to Dunkin' Donuts. USAA, the insurance company, does a good job. Of course, the Ritz-Carlton, Netflix, even when they raised their prices, there were people emotionally connected to their brand. So that's how I see it as evolving.
When you're talking about an engaged customer, so give me a little bit, is there a demographic to it, or is it really just whatever that engaged or whatever that product is that becomes emotionally attached? What's part of the emotional attachment?
The emotional attachment is that they brag about you. They're connected to you. The outcome is what I mentioned before, which is they recommend you. They've been with you for a long time. They repurchase all the time. They come back and trade with you. But rooted in that are things like trust. Your brand, your deliverable must be reliable. You must have integrity. They've got to be able to trust you. They have to have pride in your brand. You know, people who love Starbucks continue to talk about Starbucks. They try to talk other people into it. I do the same thing with the Target prescription, vials. You show the customer respect. The customer respects you. You show the customer respect no matter what's going on with them, no matter how unreasonable others might think them to be. They have passion, excitement, integrated into the customer's lifestyle. So it's pretty easy with certain brands, like a Patagonia might be. that's an easy one to pick out. People love Patagonia because it matches their lifestyle. But even a Trader Jack's because it's more green, or a Victoria's Secret because it's easy for a male to shop there versus being embarrassed in a department store or another kind of a store. And then, of course, looking for ways to add value, that the customer always feels as though you're working on their behalf and adding value. So those sort of routes give you an outcome of somebody that's going to be with you a long time and be a most profitable customer.
To get that engaged customer takes work, takes an organization that really wants to make sure that the customer experience is top-notch 100% of the time. So kind of talk about the areas of the organization that impact the customer's experience.
Good. That's the big misconception, that customer service or an engaged customer is a separate event. It really is not. It is part of the organization, and it has to be part of the culture, and it connects to all, and everything connects to the customer's experience. Management, is top management, are the middle managers, are the line managers involved? Are they committed? Are they engaged? The data and metric, for example, the dashboards or surveys, are you keeping up with that? You understand what the customers, how the customers feel about you, and all the metrics connect to the service. Systems. Sometimes organizations make the commitment to create a competitive advantage by providing better service, yet the systems don't match that and they can't keep up with it. Policies. Are the policies left over, or are they also in line with an engaged customer? Processes. I had a client come into town, and I made a reservation at a restaurant, and I didn't do it by phone. I did it online. And I was a little embarrassed. When I got to the hostess, the place was a zoo. It was very, very crowded, and I gave them my name. And she says to me, the receptionist says, gee, I don't have your name down here. What's your phone number? I says, I didn't give you a phone number. I did it online. So she actually had to go into the back room, go onto her computer, and confirm that I had a reservation. So here's a case where the process doesn't match the quality of the food or the service that they want, that they were known for. Infrastructure, are you organized throughout the organization to provide customer service? And I'll talk about the Ritz-Carlton later on in the half hour, and because they certainly are. And accountabilities. Does everybody feel responsible and accountable for the customer's experience? And you can't have an engaged customer without an engaged workforce. There's no such thing as good customer service and not good employees. If the employees are unhappy, the customers are going to be unhappy. If the employees are happy, the customers are going to be happy.
Well, and it shows through, right? I mean, it shows in how they act and how they, if they smile, how they project themselves. You can feel it.
Exactly.
It's a feel, right? I look at it, I go into a place. You can almost tell the atmosphere of any place you walk into just by looking at the employees.
Exactly. The national statistics about this is that companies' workforces are not really fully engaged. And the bulk of the people are in this sort of a bell-shaped curve that are up for grabs. And if the organization is paying attention to their employees and including their employees and allowing their employees to participate and get involved in the customer's experience, the idea of moving that bell-shaped curve to the right and having them more highly engaged is greater. And the other thing that's of concern is this thing called the discretionary effort, and that is, what are the employees doing when nobody's looking? is it on behalf of the customer? Is it on behalf of the organization? Or is it on behalf of their own goals and their own interests? So discretionary effort is highly connected to the engaged workforce.
So how easy is it really to make service a primary competitive advantage?
Well,
that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
It's easy and it's not. It's yes and no. It depends how far along you are and how serious and committed you are to that strategy. It takes the entire organization and a willingness to empower people within the organization.
And that takes leaders to make the decision that that's important, right? I mean, it has to start at the top.
Yeah, at the top. But It often starts at the top, and it becomes the event du jour. So it's not going to be a New Year's resolution that you're going to do for a while and then stop. This has to be an entire organizational commitment. And whether things are good or whether things are bad, if you're going to be driven by the short-term metrics and not the long-term decision to be a customer-focused organization, an organization that's going to have engaged customers, an organization that's going to create competitive advantage, then it will be an event du jour. It'll come, it'll go, and people will, and it'll be very transparent. You'll go hog wild for a while, and then you're allowing everything to bungee back. So it's got to be wholehearted and committed, right, as you say, right from the top.
A lot of companies go through the what you might call the change of the day, change of the month,
yep.
change of the quarter, right. change of the year. These are the initiatives this year. These are the things we've got to get done this year. We're going to focus on these this year. But they don't necessarily, and then by halfway through the year, it's changed. Something's happened with the market. I have a retail background as well, and it's the old saying, sales cures all ails. If sales are really good, then we can, it's clearly whatever's working. We'll just keep doing it. We're not going to stay the focus. If something happened, those things happen.
The Ritz-Carlton is a great example of an organization that really does it all. They call it legendary service, but it connects. They have 12 service values. They have the three steps of service. They have their motto, their employee promise, and their credo. But a lot of companies have that. but it goes into print and it disappears. It's not embedded in the culture of the organization. That's where the Ritz differs. They do a phenomenal job of integrating it into the organization. And they do two things really differently. One is every single person is empowered and feels responsible for the customer's experience, from the housekeeper to the maintenance person to the door person to the executives. And that's not from time to time. That's everybody. Now, what if somebody makes a mistake? They step out of line. They do something. They have a phenomenal system of diffusing the mistakes because they put it off. They do not look for a person to blame. They have a figure. It's actually a doll that steps around, and they call him Mr. Biv, B-I-V. It's an acronym for something, but I, for the life of me, could never remember. Anyway, Mr. Biv is always there, and if something happens, they say Mr. Biv is in the room, Mr. Biv is this, and they blame it. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't get to the bottom of it, but it allows people the freedom to take some risk and go the extra mile and take responsibility for the customer's experience and add value to the customer's experience. It really works.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Hi, this is Peter Boldick at Harvest Hill Farms. For those folks who are looking for healthy eating alternatives, we have been raising natural range-fed beef and poultry right here in the great state of Maine for over 15 years. Let us introduce you to our Never Ever program. Our animals are never ever introduced to growth hormones or antibiotics, only raised as nature intended. We are conveniently located on Route 26 in Mechanic Falls. To find out more, call us at 998-5485 or go to our website, harvesthillfarms.com. That's harvesthillfarms.com.
I love Maine, and I'm interested in Maine news.
But I want it quickly and simply.
All in one place would be good.
You've just described a great website.
Really?
MaineNewsSimply.com.
Maine news.
Three words. MaineNewsSimply.com. Go to the site, and I'll explain. MaineNewsSimply.com collects news as it happens from news sources all over Maine. It's compiled and presented online in an easy-to-read format that keeps you up to date in just minutes. MaineNewsSimply.com is for people on the go who want the news of Maine fast, anywhere, anytime.
I'm on, and you're right. This is exactly what I asked for.
Discover what thousands of Mainers already have. Maine News Simply, the free online website and daily newsletter loaded with headlines and stories from close to 50 news sources.
Maine News Simply looks great, easy to read, current, interesting. I like it.
Try it today, and while you're there, sign up for the newsletter. It's all free. Three words, MaineNewsSimply.com. The smarter, faster way to stay on top of the news in Maine.
Thank you for calling vacationsandstuff.com. Looking for a hotel? How about a car? Are you sure you don't want a car? What about tickets to a show? No? Then how about the car? We've got pony rides. Why not? Not for you? What about a cruise? It's just like a hotel, except it floats. How about a
Sometimes car? You just need a hotel. When you do, go to hotels.com.
How about a facial then? Back wax? Stone massage?
With over 20 years of experience and over 140,000 hotels worldwide, why go anywhere else? At hotels.com, finding you the perfect place is all we do.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. We're talking to Herb Cohen. He's the chairman of Performance Connections International. Herb, again, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we've talked a lot about employee engagement, and one of the examples you cite was the Ritz-Carlton. So what I'd like to do, if possible, here for the next few minutes, if you could kind of give a rundown of how the Ritz-Carlton did what it did, and maybe why they decided to go for they always had a reputation, of course, of great service. But what moved them to embracing engagement?
Good. When I first met them, they're the best at everything, and they have been for a while. But when I first met, they provided every employee with their prescriptive approach, their service values, their steps of service, and every employee was trained, taught to deliver the message. But customers have varied needs and varied wants. So if you provide the same consistent message service to every customer, the outcome will vary. On the other hand, if you provide varied service, depending on the situation or the needs and wants of the customer, the outcome will be more consistent at a much higher level. So their movement from a prescriptive approach to full empowerment and allowing every employee to treat the customer in the way the customer wanted to be treated, slower, faster, more, less, that the judgment was going to be for every single employee. That was the big change. And where they were getting high, very, very high ranks in their ratings of best service in the world, Four Seasons was beating them, Sangita was beating them, there were other places beating them. That all changed when they went from the prescriptive approach to a more empowered approach. That's a big difference.
No, that's a huge difference. Now, tell me some of the steps it took, though.
The step was to decide that they were going to empower them. That the empowered employee was going to make some mistakes along the way, but that they were going to allow that to happen. That their tolerance for error. That's another thing that I look at in an organization. What is your tolerance for error? What is the level of error? Some organizations, the tolerance for error is very, very low. If that happens, it's very difficult to provide the greatest possible service because your employees are running scared. They're always going to be worried about making a mistake. At the Ritz-Carlton, they're never worried about making a mistake. Another thing that they do is they have what's called a lineup. Now, some organizations will say, gee, we're going to replicate that. Let me just explain what the lineup is. The lineup is in every single property, every single day, they have a 15-minute meeting with every single person. What do they talk about? What they did right? What they got to do better? They repeat a service value. They have 12 of them, like strong relationships, always be responsible, you are empowered, understand the key success factor, things like that, how to resolve problems, things like that. They have a service value of the day. If they're at the headquarters in Washington, D.C., the president's in the office, he comes to the meeting, the lowest secretary, the maintenance person. If you're talking about a property, that's all 24 hours. They may have one in the morning. If you go to that meeting in the morning, they'll have a cross-section of the entire organization, people out of the kitchen, people from housekeeping, people from reception, executives. and then they do it again at night. If the executives from the home office are in the field, they attend them. The lineup is where they discuss, and they do this every single day, and they talk about who they are, what their, you know, and what their motto is. Their motto is that we are ladies and gentlemen who service ladies and gentlemen, and they never get tired of talking about it, and they do it every single day. Most organizations don't do it. They start off doing it. They make excuses because it's a distributed business and it's hard to do. But organizations, my friend Ken Blanchard does this by telephone. There's ways to do this if organizations are committed to changing the culture within the organization.
Geez, Ken Blanchard, I was just thinking, One Minute Manager, right? Isn't that his
oh, yeah.
favorite book?
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, I was like, that name sounds familiar. That's right. Ken does a great job. He actually has a program he uses quite a bit, and I am familiar with it. Do you think that when an organization or a company is looking at empowering their employees, there's an element of risk that they have to accept? And how do they get over that fact of the risk that they have to accept?
They have the tolerance for error. The other part of how the Ritz transitioned was they created a more engaged workforce. What is a more engaged workforce? I think we can boil it down to, you know, discretionary effort. There's a few other definitions. But here's the three things. If the listeners remember nothing else, remember these three things. That your employees find value in the organization. That your employees are allowed to create value in the organization. And that your employees feel valued. Find value, create value, feel value. That's it. If nothing else, mm-hmm. find value in the organization. Can they contribute? Are they appreciated? And is there a way for them to contribute? If you can do that, those things in the organization, you're on your way to creating a culture one of service or one of any other strategic advantage that you want to create, but primarily service.
I was thinking that this is exactly one of the things that great companies do. I mean, they really take the time to make sure that their performance and they trust their people and that they really set them out there to succeed. And it takes risk, but the risk equals reward in this particular case. So I think that that's a great way of putting it. Herb, I got to thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate your time talking to us. And again, Herb Cohen is the chairman of Performance Connections International. Herb, if they want to get a hold of you, what's the website?
www.performanceconnections.com.
And we will certainly have that website along with your contact information on the HR Power Hour or hrpowerhour.com site. So again, thank you, Herb, for being on the show today.
It's been my pleasure, David. Thank you very much.
And now the HR tip of the week. What does it mean to be flexible? A flexible organization will better meet the challenges facing it in these economically uncertain times. The benefits of a flexible approach are considerable. Increasing productivity, less absenteeism, increased loyalty to the organization, and improved staff well-being. Flexibility can reflect the structure of a company's resources, such as having a core team supported by part-timers or outsourced staff when the business needs it. So flexibility is important. So think about it as an HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. First is Don Patton, Global Accounts Director for Berkman Learning Partners, and he's going to be talking about the Berkman Method. And Todd Grove, National Accounts Director, Worksite Solutions for LTC Financial Partners, and he's going to be talking about the ever-increasing need for long-term care. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 2 p.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.